Let me ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to the book of James, James chapter 1 this morning. James chapter 1. Cold weather in South Carolina reminds me of the fact that vacation time is coming very soon. And so it actually creates an appetite to actually leave here, if you think about it. Cold weather. And South Carolina weather is very different than other parts of the country, because if you go up north where it's very cold in the fall, and the Midwest or New England, it's just a different feel. And they don't have this kind of weather in Miami. So it's almost like in South Carolina. And the weather in South Carolina is a lot like the people. They're generally very mild and pleasant. But when they're mean, they're really mean. And so the cold weather here is a mean cold weather. It bites you, and it actually is a suffering cold. And then it's weird rain, because it's like yesterday you walked outside, it was sort of rain, but it was just like everywhere. And you step outside for 2 seconds, and then you're soaking wet. So that's South Carolina. So in light of that, it's definitely a motivation for us to look forward to the future and the opportunities that will be coming very soon. So this morning, what I'd like to do is really start out with a couple of questions, hopefully to gain your attention, and then to try to seek some answers from the scriptures in the first chapter of James. So here are my questions. Question number one is this: how many of you have had a hard semester? Raise your hand. How many have had a hard semester? Wow, take comfort. What a miserable place. Okay, second question. How many of you have had some things happen to you this semester that were difficult, that were really unexpected? In other words, you didn't see it coming. You would have prepared yourself for it, but it actually happened, and you thought, what is this? Why is this happening? I don't understand. I'm slightly confused. But you've had things happen that are unexpected. Would you raise your hand? Okay, very good. Now, how many of you are still living with that pressure of the unexpected issues or the hard things, and you sort of wish it would go away and be easier? How many of you are there? Okay, very good. This is awesome. I'm so thrilled. Because we can now go to the Bible and actually relate your situation very clearly to the scriptures. And what I'd like us to do this morning is gain some light from James chapter 1 and the first few verses to where you are, and then how to look at it through some biblical lenses, how to understand it. So James is writing in chapter 1, verse 1. We see this: James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. James is the author of the book. This James is the brother of Jesus. It's not James, the brother of John, one of the 12 disciples. It's a different James. Jesus came from a family of actually five brothers, five boys: James, Joseph, Jude or Judas, and Simon, and then Jesus. So Jesus is the oldest. He has four brothers. And then the Bible says he has sisters. You can read this, Matthew 13:55. We know he has at least two sisters. I'm going to assume he probably had some more than that. So let's say at least three. So you got five brothers and three sisters. What do you call that? You call that a homeschool family. So that's the family Jesus came from, all right? So the brother here, some of you can really relate to that. So the brother here is writing, the brother of Jesus, and he's writing to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Who are these? These are Jewish believers, Christians who are from the tribe of Israel. And they literally have been driven out of the country. They're living in a dispersion. So the best way to put it in common language today is that they're refugees. These are Christian refugees. So he's writing to them, and what is he doing? He's talking to them about how to address things that are really hard and things that come into your life that are unexpected, and you're having to live with them right now. Isn't that so awesome? Because that's exactly where you are, because everybody here is a refugee, because we are all pilgrims headed to the promised land. We are all on a journey. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. And James addresses how Christians are supposed to think about trials. So What I'd like us to do is ask three questions and think through this morning what James is teaching us. So let's look at verse 2. He says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." If you're reading out of another translation, it says, "Probably count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds." And then he says in verse 3, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience," or endurance, or steadfastness, all the same. "But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom," and by the way, you do, "let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, it shall be given him." So let me ask three questions, okay? Question number one, it's just really basic, and that is this: what is a trial? And the best way I can describe a trial is in one word, and that is a test. That's exactly what a trial is. It means to learn the nature or character of something or someone by submitting them to a thorough and an extensive examination. It means to go through an experience, okay, hard, long-term, difficult, unexpected, to go through an experience where actually you're being put to the test. And the purpose of the test is to discover and learn the nature or the character of something. So when I was a student here at Bob Jones in grad school, at the end of your graduation, at the end of your graduate school time, you had to take, back in the day, you had to take a comprehensive exam. So you're there, let's say you're there for 2 or 3 years studying your master's, and at the end of that, they give you a comprehensive exam of whether or not you really know what you learned. And it was extremely extensive, and it was incredibly pressure-filled. And it's, you didn't get a grade. It's not A, B, C, D, or F. It's either pass or fail. That's it. And I remember taking that exam. Everybody's sweating bullets. Everybody is under great stress and pressure. You take the test, and all you care about is pass or fail. And I remember getting my grade back, and I passed. And it was such a joyful experience to get through it. The word for trial or temptation here means to come under a test. So if you graduate with a nursing degree here, it doesn't mean you're going to be a nurse. You've got to go through a test. It's called an NCLEX. If you want to go into graduate school, it doesn't mean you can just get in, but you have to take a GRE. If you want to go to med school, you just can't go to med school. You've got to take the MCATs. So you have to take a test to qualify you. So what is a trial according to the Bible? It is you coming under a test, and you are coming under a test through various circumstances. So the trial for the believer is not sitting in a class taking a test. It is actually the classroom of life. And it's the experiences that you and I are going through. And I'm not going to take the time to talk about those experiences because the Bible gives variety of them. Paul actually puts them in a list of 5 kinds of tests. In 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 10, he talks about various trials. For example, he talks about physical trials, infirmities. How many of you have struggled with sickness this semester? Okay, quite a few of you, all right? Secondly, are what we call necessities or financial trials. How many of you have faced a financial trial in the last year? Okay. Then the third kind of trial is what they call reproaches or verbal trials. That is verbal conflicts. People saying things about you or people, in my world, it's not people say things about me, it's people that write on Facebook, you know, or text, or stupid memes or whatever they are, you know? I mean, you know, stupid memes by stupid people. So, you know, the verbal trials that you have to live through. You understand what I'm saying? Or we're talking about emotional trials, distresses. 90% of according to, a poll of people from Generation Z are living with stress, and they're living stressed out, okay? So all of that is the experience of life. You're going through these trials, and you're being put through a test. So that leads me to the second question, and that is this. What are you being tested about? What is the pressure that you're under? Now, remember, this is for a Christian only. So this is a part of being a part of God's family. What is the pressure that all of you are going under? Because, you know, all of us are in the same boat. And the pressure is found here in verse 3. Notice what he says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. What is being put to the test? What is it? You tell me. What is being put to test? You tell me. Your faith. Okay, not patience. That's what's being produced. Knowing this, that the trying of your, say it, your faith. Okay, so what is being examined, what is being discovered is actually the reality of your faith. The reality of your belief is actually what's being put to the test. And by faith, I mean two things. The first thing I mean is, what do you really believe? Do you really believe the content of the faith? And when I mean the content of the faith, I'm not talking about your faith in God. I'm actually talking about the faith that you say you believe. Or to put it in simple terms, do you really believe the Bible's God's word? Do you really believe that? Do you believe the Bible is sufficient for everything of life? For example, every trial you go through, every emotional experience you go through, every struggle you go through, do you really believe that the Bible is sufficient enough to help you overcome those things, or help you go through those things, or help you change in those things? So really what's being put to the test, first of all, is what do you believe? Is my life and are my actions being shaped and informed by the content of the truth, or by my feelings, by my emotions? So when we talk about your faith, we're talking about, what do you believe? Do you believe the promises of God? Do you believe what God says? Do you accept the authority of the Bible, that the Bible is my boss? It tells me how to think. Am I willing to trust God no matter what I feel, because I know what he says is true? That's what's being tested. And I want you to understand, you can't have faith without having tests. There's no such thing as saying I believe and then I'm not going to be tested over that. Then the second idea of your faith here is you're actually believing. And that is, you're really, not only do you believe the content of the scriptures, but are you willing to make the right choices? Because faith is active. It's not passive. There is a trusting in God, but there's an activity in that. Am I really actually willing to trust God? When I go through disappointments, am I really willing to trust God through these situations? So trials actually put you under stress. They're stressful. It's filled with pressure. But it forces you to make choices. And here's the ultimate choice you're going to make. And that is, when you go through a trial, think of it this way, and you're under pressure. Think about the things that you buy that you can't get to it without squeezing it. Like what? Toothpaste. So inside is what you want, but you can't get to it if you don't put pressure on it. Or lotion. And you want to put lotion on your hands, or you walk into the dining common and you want to clean your hands, and you go through that, what's that little thing? You stick your hand under, it goes, you know, and it gives you the cleaner there. Now, it used to be you have to push the thing down and, you know, it comes out because of pressure. When you and I get squeezed, when we go through pressure, things come out of us. And usually it's two things as a Christian. Number one, it's actually bad things. Stuff. Yuck comes out, like mad, I'm angry, or I'm confused, or I'm afraid, or I'm jealous, or I'm depressed, or I'm discouraged. And suddenly, what becomes the controlling element of your life and the way you think are your emotions. So you're emotional, okay? But there's something else that should come out, and that is actually an active faith in God that actually can be stronger than my emotions, can overcome them. And that's what the pressure is all about. The pressure is this: are you going to give in to your feelings, or are you going to learn to trust God in spite of the way you feel? Now, think of it this way. What is endurance? What is endurance? It's sticking out. It's overcoming your feelings. It's overcoming fear. It's overcoming anger. It's overcoming discouragement. It's not saying that, it's not denying that you don't have those feelings. The Bible never denies reality. But what it does teach is it teaches hope and victory, that my faith can actually overcome my feelings. And that overcoming is actually the idea of endurance. It's overcoming fear. And it's, so how do I overcome fear? Faith. Where do I get my faith? The content of the scriptures. It's not denying the struggle of the reality of the emotions. It's the fact that the victory comes through believing the promises and staying faithful and trusting the promises no matter how I feel. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, it should make sense to you because you have faith. And we all know that we're up and down emotionally. And really what God is trying to do is to get us from being yo-yos, up and down, on the mountain, in the valley, up and down, up and down, up and down. And he's trying to get us solid, kind of at a level consistency. Because I face the same pressures you face. And you face the same pressures others face. But the difference is often in the way that we respond emotionally. So God is trying to take us, for example, from anger and bring us to peace. He's trying to take us from fear and bring us to confidence. He's trying to take us from jealousy and bring us to contentment. He's trying to take us from being discouraged and bringing us to a place of joy. And that's what's happening. This is what James is saying. And that leads me to the last question, and that is this. What does a trial produce? Now, I've already said it, but I'm going to ask the question. What is the end game of the trial? We're under the pressure. Our faith is being put to the test. What's God trying to produce? And he tells us. Let's go back and look at verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith is working, or it is producing, just like an apple tree produces apples, is producing something. Is producing what? Patience or endurance or steadfastness, okay? So patience doesn't mean putting up with irritating people. That's long suffering, okay? Patience is enduring. It is sticking it out. It is staying with it. It is trusting God no matter how I feel. And understand something about a trial. A trial is not waking up with a headache. That's not a trial. That's why you take aspirin. That is not a trial. A trial is waking up with a headache for 3 weeks. Because in a trial, it's always long. You understand what I'm saying? It's something that you're living with today that actually has changed things. It's like a new normal, okay? You know, what it was like your sophomore year is not anything like it's like your junior year. It's very different. It's a new normal, and you're having to live with it. And you're having to live with some things that you're struggling with emotionally. I may have told you guys this illustration before, but it reminds me of it. We had a home up in northeastern Wisconsin, and it was in the middle of nowhere in the woods. And it was a veritable jungle of animals. I mean, you name it, we had the animals come through our yard. Deer and bears and bobcats and every kind of varmint possible. And we always had a bunch of turkeys come through. And I remember one fall, we were up there for a short period of time, and there was like a flock of 50 turkeys came through our front yard. And it was really cool watching them. It was nice. It was interesting watching the male turkeys as they were chasing the female turkeys, and they put their plumes out, you know, and they were doing their little thing and just kind of dancing around and showing off, you know, all males are created equal. And so they were doing this. And then there was this one lone turkey just walking by itself. And I saw something I couldn't believe. And that is stuck in its backside was an arrow. Somebody shot the turkey and didn't kill it. And now it had stuck in its posterior an arrow. And it was lumbering up a hill with this arrow. And my first thought was, now that's a new normal. And do you know what? It wasn't going away. It was still there. What is a trial? It's a new normal. And what does it produce? It produces steadfastness. That is the capacity to bear up under difficult circumstances. What holds you when you go through hard times? It's always your faith. And two things that it produces in this endurance. Number one, it produces the confidence that you're actually a Christian. It actually produces in you an assurance of your salvation. Do you remember what Jesus said in the parable of the soils? He talked about different soils, the hard ground, the rocky ground, the thorny ground. Listen to Matthew 13:20. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately he receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. Jesus is using that to describe somebody who professes to be a believer, but they fall away from the faith. And it means that they really never believed because they were shallow. It wasn't really genuine. When you and I go through trials and we're faithful to God and we stay in there and we don't get bitter and we don't get angry, but we trust God, what does it prove? It proves that you're a believer. It gives you a greater confidence. So that's the value of a trial. Many times I walked out of tests in college not knowing how I did, and I simply said, thank God I'm saved. Thank God I'm going to heaven. And then secondly, not only does it produce confidence, but it actually produces a change. And let me conclude with this. Notice what he says. He says in verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The word perfect there means to be full or finished. It's like graduation day. You finish the hours, you're done. It also means perfect and complete. The word complete means well-rounded or balanced. You've completed your training. In other words, there's an end to the trial, and the end brings about a change. And what he is saying is, this is what's happening. God's changing us. So, as we finish, how do you respond? How do you respond to this? And what does he say in verse 2? My brethren, when you fall into various trials, what are you to do? What are you to do? Count it all what? Joy. What does that mean? It means to look forward to something. How many of you are looking forward to Thanksgiving? Wow, what a response. How many of you are looking forward to Christmas? How many of you are looking forward to graduation? Okay, so what is that? That's called joy. So, listen very carefully. Joy is not rejoicing in the now, but it is projecting the future to the present. That's what joy is. Because the things that you're so excited about, that you're so emotional about, means you're projecting the future on the present right now. Now think with me. I'm actually going to heaven. I'm actually going to heaven. Man, that's a whole lot better than Thanksgiving. I'm actually saved. I'm a child of God. He loves me. Nothing's going to separate me from His love, even this hardship. You know what discouragement is? It's projecting on the present, the present. It's actually taking the present, and I project all my thinking on the present, and I get discouraged. And one is hope, and the other is discouragement. And so he says, count it all joy, and then pray for wisdom. What is wisdom? Lord, help me to think this way. How many of you often don't think this way? So you know what wisdom is? Lord, help me to think this way. Help me to project the future on the present by rejoicing in all that you're doing. So, hopefully, James has helped us this morning. that we can go through this and be patient and endure and serve him. And all God's people said, amen. Have a great day.